Coming up next on Passion Struck, we often prepare for the physical storms, but how do we brace ourselves for the emotional ones? Join me on this deeply personal episode as I reflect on the overwhelming emotional fatigue from facing two devastating hurricanes to drawing lessons from the incredible endurance of Ernest Shackleton. I explore how we can manage emotional exhaustion and build resilience when the storms, both literal and metaphorical, just won't let up. This episode offers powerful insights on surviving and thriving through the mental toll of relentless adversity. Welcome to Passion Struck. Hi, I'm your host, John R. Miles, and on the show, we decipher the secrets, tips, and guidance of the world's most inspiring people and turn their wisdom into practical advice for you and those around you. Our mission is to help you unlock the power of intentionality so that you can become the best version of yourself. If you're new to the show, I offer advice and answer listener questions on Fridays. We have long-form interviews the rest of the week with guests ranging from astronauts to authors, CEOs, creators, innovators, scientists, military leaders, visionaries, and athletes. Now, let's go out there and become Passion Struck. Hey, Passion Struck fam. Welcome back to episode 519 of the Passion Struck podcast. You, yes, you are the heartbeat of this community, and I am so grateful for your continued energy, passion, and commitment to living an intentional life. Week after week, you show up ready to elevate your life, and that's what makes this movement so powerful. If you're tuning in for the first time, welcome to the Passion Struck family. You've just joined a community that's all about igniting purpose and living boldly with intention. We're excited to have you on this transformative journey. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to take a moment to highlight some of the amazing conversations we've had recently. Earlier this week, I had the honor of sitting down with Maha Abu Elanin to explore the power of self-reliance and personal branding. I also had an incredible discussion with Topaz Adizes on the power of storytelling and deep human connection. If you haven't caught up on those episodes yet, I highly encourage you to give them a listen. And if you truly love today's episode or either of those others, we would truly appreciate you giving it a 5-star rating and review. And don't forget, for those who want to dive deeper into these insights, sign up for my Live Intentionally newsletter. Each week, I send out exclusive content, practical exercises, and tools to help you apply what we discuss here on the podcast to your everyday life. Head over to passionstruck.com/newsletter to start living with more intention today. Now, on to today's episode, which is an incredibly personal reflection for me. As I sit here recording this episode on October 8th, just hours before Hurricane Milton makes landfall, I find it hard to believe that Hurricane Helene struck our community less than 2 weeks ago, leaving widespread devastation. The emotional toll has been overwhelming, as I talked about in my solo episode from last week. And today, I want to talk about something many of us experience, emotional fatigue. It's not just the physical preparation, boarding up windows and gathering supplies. It's the mental and emotional exhaustion that comes from living through one crisis after another. The constant strain of having to cope with repeated stress can leave us drained mentally and emotionally. Emotional fatigue, in its most intense form, can feel like you're running on empty, constantly trying to manage the weight of trauma and anxiety. In today's episode, I want to explore what emotional fatigue truly is, using both neuroscience and behavioral science to help us understand why our minds react this way. I'll break down the roles of the amygdala and the prefrontal cortex in our stress responses, and how constant stress leads to cognitive overload and emotional numbing. To help us better understand resilience in the face of emotional fatigue, I'll be sharing the legendary story of Ernest Shackleton and his crew during their ill-fated Antarctic expedition aboard the Endurance. Shackleton's journey was more than just a fight for physical survival. It was about how he and his crew managed the emotional toll of prolonged hardship and uncertainty. Throughout this episode, we'll explore key strategies for building resilience in the face of emotional fatigue, from focusing on what we can control to preventing decision overload and relying on social support. Shackleton's experience shows us that resilience is built not by ignoring the emotional strain, but by using practical strategies to stay strong mentally, even in the most difficult circumstances. By the end of this episode, my hope is that you'll walk away with a deeper understanding of how emotional fatigue works and how you can apply the lessons from Shackleton's leadership to your own life, whether you're facing personal challenges, burnout, or ongoing stressful situations. Let's dive in. Thank you for choosing Passion Struck and choosing me to be your host and guide on your journey to creating an intentional life. Now, let that journey begin. Before diving into Ernest Shackleton's story, it's essential to explore what emotional fatigue is and the neuroscience behind it. This will help us better understand why we feel so emotionally depleted as we face life's storms and how we can manage this emotional toll. Emotional fatigue occurs when we're subjected to prolonged or repeated stress, leading to depletion of our emotional resources. Our brains are designed to handle short bursts of stress through the fight or flight response. But when stress becomes constant, our emotional reserves get worn down. Here's how the process works. The amygdala is the part of the brain responsible for detecting threats. When we perceive danger, it triggers the fight or flight response, releasing adrenaline and preparing our bodies for action. This mechanism is effective during immediate crises, like the approach of a hurricane. However, when the threat persists, such as dealing with the aftermath of one disaster while bracing for another, the amygdala stays overactivated. This constant state of alert drains both our emotional and physical energy, leading to emotional fatigue. Then there's the prefrontal cortex, which is responsible for reasoning, planning, and decision-making. Prolonged stress can overwhelm this part of the brain, leading to decision fatigue. When we have to make too many high-stakes decisions in a short period, like deciding whether to evacuate or how to protect our homes, we experience cognitive overload. This is why, after one disaster, even the thought of preparing for another can feel impossible. Our brain's ability to process and make rational decisions is simply exhausted. When faced with continuous stress, the brain can shut down emotionally to protect itself. This response, known as emotional numbing, can lead to a sense of disengagement or detachment from the world around us. Although it's a coping mechanism to prevent further distress, emotional numbing makes it harder to stay motivated and connected to the present moment. It's another aspect of emotional exhaustion that many of us are feeling right now. These are just a few ways emotional fatigue manifests in our minds and bodies. While the mental and emotional depletion is undeniable, the good news is that just as the brain reacts to stress, we can also learn how to manage it effectively. With this understanding of emotional fatigue in mind, let's turn to the story of Ernest Shackleton and his crew. Shackleton's expedition was not just a battle against the brutal conditions of Antarctica, but also a battle against the emotional and psychological toll that comes with prolonged uncertainty, fear, and isolation. In 1914, Shackleton set sail with a crew of 28 men aboard the Endurance, intending to be the first to cross Antarctica. However, their journey quickly took a turn for the worse. By January 1915, the Endurance was trapped in the dense pack ice of the Weddell Sea. The crew could only wait, hoping the ice would break and allow them to continue their journey. But as the months wore on, their situation became increasingly dire. The ice was not releasing its grip. Instead, it was tightening. The ship creaked under the pressure, its wooden hull groaning as the ice pressed harder and harder. The psychological impact on the crew must have been immense. Every day, they were faced with the same bleak landscape, the same unforgiving cold, and the same uncertainty. There was no way out, no communication with the outside world, no rescue on the horizon. And yet, Shackleton managed to keep morale high, assuring his men they would survive this ordeal. Then, in October 1915, nearly a year after being trapped in the ice, the Endurance succumbed to the immense pressure. The ship was crushed, its hull splintering, and Shackleton ordered the ship to be abandoned. The crew salvaged what they could, watching helplessly as the Endurance slowly sank beneath the ice. The men were now stranded on a drifting ice floe, hundreds of miles from civilization, with no means of contacting the outside world. They had limited supplies, no shelter beyond their makeshift tents, and no idea if they would ever be rescued. The Antarctic winter was in full force, with temperatures regularly dipping below negative 20 degrees Fahrenheit. Darkness engulfed them 24 hours a day, and the wind howled relentlessly. Imagine the psychological toll of those conditions, months of unrelenting cold, isolation, and fear. The men were cut off from everything familiar, facing not just the physical challenges of survival, but the crushing weight of emotional fatigue. It would have been easy for the men to fall into despair, to give up hope entirely. Yet, Shackleton refused to allow that to happen. The crew lived on the ice for 5 months, shifting their camps as the floes drifted and broke apart beneath them. They survived on a meager diet of seals and penguins, rationing every bite of food. The stress was immense. Not only were they constantly on edge about the ice splitting under their feet, but they were also battling starvation, frostbite, and sickness. The isolation must have been suffocating. There was no escape from the desolation of the Antarctic landscape, just endless stretches of ice and snow with no sign of help. The darkness of the winter months only added to the sense of hopelessness. The psychological strain of such prolonged isolation with no certainty of rescue would have been enough to break even the strongest spirits. But Shackleton knew that the crew's survival depended as much on their mental endurance as on their physical strength. He kept the men focused on small, manageable goals. They had daily routines, setting up camp, maintaining equipment, and hunting for food. These routines gave the men a sense of purpose, helping to stave off the despair that could have easily set in. Shackleton understood that by keeping their minds engaged and occupied, he could help the crew maintain their emotional resilience. Yet, the ice continued to drift, bringing no closer hope of escape. Shackleton knew they would eventually perish if they remained on the floes. So, in April 1916, he made a desperate decision. They would attempt to reach the nearest inhabited land, South Georgia Island, by sea. The journey would require crossing 800 miles of some of the most dangerous waters on Earth, and nothing more than small lifeboats that they had salvaged from the Endurance. Shackleton, along with five of his strongest men, set off in one of the lifeboats, the James Caird. The voyage was brutal. The sea was merciless, with towering waves and freezing spray that soaked the men to the bone. They had no shelter, no warmth, and little food. The psychological stress was as severe as the physical. The crew battled sleep deprivation, dehydration, and the knowledge that one wrong move could spell their doom. But after 17 days of navigating treacherous seas, they made it to South Georgia Island. Shackleton and two of his men then trekked across the island, an uncharted and dangerous terrain of glaciers and mountains, to reach a whaling station. After 36 hours of nonstop hiking, they stumbled into the station, exhausted and near death, but alive. In August 1916, after multiple failed rescue attempts due to the ice, Shackleton returned to Elephant Island to rescue the remaining crew members. Remarkably, despite all the hardships that they had faced, months on the ice, hunger, isolation, and the crushing weight of emotional fatigue, every single man survived. Shackleton's survival story is a testament to human resilience, not just in the face of physical challenges, but also in overcoming emotional fatigue. The men were not only battling extreme conditions, but also the mental strain of prolonged uncertainty, isolation, and fear. Their survival wasn't just about food and warmth, it was about how they managed the emotional exhaustion that threatened to break them. Next, I'm going to explore the key lessons we can draw from Shackleton's leadership and apply to our own experiences today. These strategies, grounded both in science and historical wisdom, offer a roadmap for managing emotional fatigue and staying resilient in the face of overwhelming challenges. So let's get back to what's happening in the real world. The storm may have passed, but now comes the hard part, dealing with the emotional and physical aftermath. Whether you're recovering from a disaster, enduring a personal crisis, or simply grappling with intense, prolonged stress, the feelings of exhaustion and helplessness can be overwhelming. In moments like these, Ernest Shackleton's leadership during his Antarctic expedition provides valuable insights into managing emotional fatigue. Shackleton's men survived not only due to physical endurance, but because they were able to sustain their mental resilience in the face of uncertainty, isolation, and fear. These strategies can help anyone facing prolonged stress, whether it's personal, professional, or due to large external forces, like a hurricane. The first thing we can learn is to channel your energy towards what you can control. When facing adversity, one of the most debilitating aspects is feeling powerless. Shackleton's crew knew this well. Trapped in the Antarctic ice with no guarantee of rescue, they could have easily succumbed to the fear of the unknown. However, Shackleton kept the men focused on small, actionable tasks that were within their control, like setting up camp, managing supplies, and preparing for the worst. When stress is high, focusing on what you can control offers a mental anchor. Instead of fixating on the enormity of the challenge or the uncertainties of the future, channel your energy into tasks or decisions that you can directly influence. Behavioral science shows that engaging in small, manageable tasks can help lower anxiety and create a sense of control over an otherwise overwhelming situation. In moments of intense stress, identify a few small practical actions that you can take to feel productive and grounded. Whether it's organizing your workspace, making a list of next steps, or reaching out for advice, these small wins can reduce feelings of helplessness and reframe the situation in more manageable terms. The second thing you can do to overcome emotional fatigue is to simplify your decision-making to prevent overload. During times of prolonged stress, your mind can become overwhelmed by the sheer number of decisions you must make. This is known as decision fatigue, and it can leave you emotionally drained and prone to poor judgment. Shackleton recognized this in his crew and took on the responsibility for the most critical decisions, freeing his men to focus on survival tasks that required less mental energy. Similarly, when faced with intense stress, you can simplify your decision-making by establishing routines or narrowing down your focus to the most important choices. Decision fatigue makes it harder to think clearly and can escalate emotional burnout. So, reducing the number of decisions you have to make is key. So how do you deal with decision fatigue? Identify areas in your life where you can create routines or streamline choices. For example, limit your decisions about meals, tasks, or daily activities by sticking to a schedule. Focus on what's essential, and if possible, delegate or postpone less critical decisions to preserve your mental energy for when it matters most. The third lesson that we can learn is to build and rely on social support. One of Shackleton's most powerful strategies for ensuring the survival of his crew was fostering a sense of community and mutual support. He knew that isolation could break even the strongest men, so he encouraged a culture of camaraderie. The crew relied on one another to lift spirits and share the emotional burden of their ordeal. In times of intense stress, it's easy to withdraw or feel like you have to shoulder the weight alone. But reaching out to others, whether it's friends, family, or colleagues, can make a significant difference. Social support not only provides emotional relief, but also reminds you that you're not facing the challenge alone. So how do you deal with emotional exhaustion? If you're dealing with stress, don't hesitate to lean on your support network. Whether you need practical help, a sounding board, or just someone to listen, letting others be part of your journey can ease the burden. Likewise, offering support to others can create a sense of mutual strength, reinforcing the bonds that help you weather difficult times. The fourth lesson we learn is to stay engaged to prevent emotional shutdown. Prolonged exposure to stress can sometimes lead to emotional numbing, a defense mechanism that causes us to detach from the situation to protect ourselves from further emotional strain. Shackleton knew that disengagement could be dangerous, as it led to inaction, which was fatal in their environment. To prevent this, he kept his men mentally engaged through tasks, roles, and activities that demanded their focus. For anyone facing a stressful situation, it's important to recognize the risks of emotional disengagement and take active steps to stay present. Disengagement may seem like a way to cope, but over time, it can lead to further detachment, making it harder to stay motivated or to take necessary actions. So how do you apply this now? If you find yourself emotionally withdrawing, take small steps to stay connected with your surroundings and responsibilities. Mindfulness practices such as deep breathing, grounding exercises, or journaling can help bring your attention back to the present. Staying mentally engaged, even with small tasks, keeps emotional shutdown at bay and maintains resilience during prolonged stress. And the last lesson we can learn is to keep the bigger picture in mind. Shackleton constantly reminded his crew of their ultimate goal, survival. Even during their darkest moments, he helped them stay focused on the fact that each day of work, each small task completed, brought them closer to rescue. Keeping the bigger picture in mind helped his men push through their emotional strain of uncertainty and isolation. When you're facing a major challenge, it's easy to get bogged down by the immediate stress and forget the larger purpose you're working toward. Keeping your long-term goals in mind can provide perspective and motivation when the day-to-day feels overwhelming. So how do you apply this now? During stressful times, remind yourself of the bigger picture. Whether you're working through a personal crisis, a professional setback, or a major life challenge, reconnect with your longer-term goals. This could mean focusing on how your actions today contribute to future success, health, or personal growth. The larger context helps to buffer against the fatigue of immediate challenges. So we've explored a lot today, and Shackleton's expedition stands as a profound example of the power of mental resilience in the face of overwhelming hardship. His strategies, focusing on what could be controlled, reducing decision fatigue, leaning on social support, staying engaged, and keeping sight of the bigger picture, weren't just about survival in the Antarctic. They were about maintaining emotional strength when everything else seemed impossible. The clear takeaway here is that no matter what you're facing, whether it's recovering from a personal crisis, dealing with professional burnout, or enduring an ongoing stressful situation, you can build resilience by managing your emotional fatigue. Resilience doesn't mean pretending the stress isn't there or toughing it out alone. It means using practical strategies to protect your mental health and keeping yourself moving forward, even when the path seems impossible. The lesson from Shackleton's story is this: you can't always control what happens to you, but you can control how you respond. By focusing on small, actionable steps, seeking support, and giving yourself the time and space to recover, you'll find that even in the most difficult circumstances, you can push through and come out stronger. As you navigate your own challenges, remember, resilience isn't built in a day, but every mindful action you take, however small, builds your capacity to endure. And sometimes, survival and growth come down to taking one more step, day by day, until you reach the other side. Wow, what an intense reflection on emotional fatigue and resilience. Today, we explored how relentless stress can drain us emotionally and how we can draw on lessons from the past, like Ernest Shackleton's Antarctic expedition, to build mental resilience in the face of overwhelming hardship. Shackleton's story reminds us that we can't always control what happens to us, but we can control how we respond. By focusing on small, actionable steps, leaning in on social support, and giving ourselves space to recover, we can manage emotional fatigue and push through even the most difficult circumstances. So I want to leave you with this. What's one area of your life where you've been feeling emotionally drained? What small, practical steps can you take today to start building your resilience? Remember, resilience isn't built in a day, but each mindful action strengthens your capacity to endure. If today's episode resonated with you, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Please take a moment to leave us a 5-star rating and review. It helps us continue to bring these important conversations to you. And if you know someone who could benefit from this message, share this episode with them. Sometimes all it takes is one story to make a difference. You can find links to everything we discussed today in the show notes at passionstruck.com. You can find our videos on YouTube, and don't forget to check out our sponsors and deals at passionstruck.com/deals. Please consider supporting those who support the show. Before we wrap up, I want to remind you that beyond hosting the podcast, I'm passionate about sharing these insights with organizations and teams through speaking engagements. If today's message sparks something in you and you think it can inspire your company or team, head over to johnrmiles.com/speaking to learn more. Let's work together to create intentional change and build resilience. Next week, I'm excited to be joined by Terry Cole, a licensed psychotherapist and relationship expert and author of Too Much. We'll be diving into high-functioning codependency, how to break free from overgiving, and how to reclaim your energy and sense of self. It's a conversation you won't want to miss.
So we're changing our blueprint by becoming aware of why we relate in our relationships, platonic, professional, and otherwise, the way that we do. So that's really what the blueprint will do for you. You answer the question, and then you get clarity like, oh my gosh, I did not realize I was repeating my parents' relationship here, or that I saw this and that's why I'm doing it, or my culture taught me that this was the right way to be.
As always, the fee for the show is simple. If you found value in today's episode, share it with someone who could benefit from it. And remember, do your best to apply what you hear on the show so that you can live what you listen. Until next time, live life passion struck.